On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Putting the X in X-rated, Elon strips headline text from link posts.
Elon is trying to put a favorite feature on the chopping block.
And we all go where no SEO has gone before, but I'm totally kidding. It is the same old with Google's latest update, but forget everything you know and redo your entire site.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Greg Finn.
I'm Jess Budd.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on August 25th, 2023. Thanks for having me back. Good job holding on the fort. Last week I had a end of the year soccer party. I bought these bags off of Temu. And it's just so cheap. Everything's so cheap there. But they spelled goal without A, so it was like G-O-O-O-L-L. And one of my players is like, this says ghoul. And he's like, ghoul, everybody, the bags say ghoul. And I'm like, dying, but it was overall good. And then I went camping, right, with my kiddos to Stony Brook in New York. We've got great parks.
Beautiful
Stony Brook
park.
There's some pictures up if you want to see it. Absolutely amazing. But the campsites were not that ideal. When I got there, there are, in my vicinity, it's like a little row. There's just tents on tents on tents. Mm-hmm. It was intense, right? How crammed
intense.
It was.
Intense. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He did that on purpose.
Yeah. And
thank you.
So I'm like, this is terrible. But my sister and her kids like had about our campsite. So I was just kind of like down there by the actual brook. And I walked back to get some supplies for my car the next day. And I see every single person around me is leaving. And they just put their tent up the day before and they already made it past like they should have been checked out if they were supposed to leave. Mm-hmm. And they go to me, good luck. I'm like, thanks, you too. You know, I'm like, all right, whatever. I look at my phone. There's a tornado watch where we are camping.
I thought you didn't believe in weather.
I don't. That's why I didn't pack anything up. And I'm like, right. Why are you telling me good luck? Everybody left. And here's a picture up on the screen of what it looks like. There were tents everywhere, literally four campsites, and everybody had just left there that was around me. And I'm like, well, you know, I kind of know how tornadoes work, and they don't go down in like crevices and valleys full of trees. So I'm just going to stay here. It rained a little bit, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
You had the whole place to yourself.
I had the whole place myself.
That's so
great.
Nice.
And these people were snoring so loud the first night. It's terrible. That's like
rude.
The whole part of camping is you just want to be out alone. And when you go to these places, people are just the worst part of it. Anyway, so then like that night, it was still a little bit wet. Some of my wood was like a little bit wet and I was trying to light it and my kids really wanted to go to bed. And I was like so close to getting the fire like actually going and they're like, we need to go to bed. And so I had to abandon it. So I put them to bed and I came back and whatever progress I'd made, like it fizzled out. So I'm like, I'm just going to use my propane tank and I've got like a little jet thing. I'm just going to like jet cook this wood and get it.
Have a nice
like,
little fire by
dry
yourself.
It out. Yeah. And so I'm putting the thing together and it kind of like fizzles out. Like it just something like you could tell it didn't go in there the right way. And I get everything hooked up. I light it and propane had leaked all over. And so the entire thing
all over,
all over me, my hand, all over the side. And it's like, it's wet. So I didn't exactly know what's going on. All over the side, and it's shooting fire straight up, and it's on fire,
That's
and it's
awesome.
In my hand. So I take it and I throw it, like I just like get rid of it really quick, right?
Yeah.
And it's like kind of like on the ground, and I'm watching. I'm like, this might be put out. Water doesn't do anything, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can just run and try to get around the tent, get a towel, try to smother it, come back. But I watch a lot of like YouTube videos and stupid stuff and like Reddit. Like you always see everything just blows up. So I'm like, I don't think I have time to do this. My kids are in a tent. If it like explodes, there's going to be shrapnel everywhere. I'm going to kill people. Like, I don't want this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to take it. I'm going to pick this fireball up and flip it into this ring so that if it explodes, you know, it'll be like a fire pit ring. So it'll go, if it's in there, at least it won't penetrate and like kill people.
It'll be contained.
Right. So this thing's on fire, shooting fire. And I go, I take it, I pick it up and I flip it into the pit. And then I grab my kids and go out of the tent. Instant second degree burn.
Oh, of course. You grabbed a fire. I mean, good dad. Good dadding. Good
I took a risk, right? But I know it is on. And so like instant like blister on the top of my finger.
This is horrible.
Right. And then it's bad. And then if you look at the next picture here, it bubbled up like twice as big as the top. And you could see through my finger. You could see through it.
Let me see now.
So you could like see through my finger. It almost looked like it was like a balloon and it was like full of like liquid.
Oh,
in there.
No.
Yeah. And so then I popped it like 2 days ago.
No, you didn't.
That's really sad.
Why would you?
But now you can see like the old skin coming through. Right? Or new skin coming through over the old skin.
You look like you're growing a new finger. Yeah. That's like a worm.
But anyway, everything's fine. I survived it. And it was just like funny. I'm like, well, I'm just going to do this. Like, that's what I'm at. I'm like, I'm just going to put this in there. Instant second degree burn. And then the thing is, I didn't know, like, I'm not a wuss, right? I didn't know how much second degree burns hurt. It was like the most annoying pain that you ever feel. It just felt so annoying and like throbbing, and I couldn't make this feeling stop. And like, I didn't have ice or anything. Like, my ice had kind of melted by that time, so it was all kind of like super cold water. So all I had is like these like White Claw seltzer thing. So I take it, I have to have my like my blistery finger on this White Claw, and I'm sleeping in bed on this White Claw with my hand on this. And I fall asleep. The White Claw falls out of my hand, rolls off there, and hits my daughter right in the head.
Better than shrapnel, but
better than shrapnel. What's happening in actual marketing news?
I don't know if I can do this now. I guess the blister burst on this one too. So first up in the news this week from Google Search Central at Google Search C on X, they posted, "Today we released the August 2023 core update. Aptly named. We'll update our ranking release history page when the rollout is complete," and they provide a link. So this was posted on the 22nd, and as a recording here on Wednesday the 23rd, there's still no update on it being complete. Based on recent rollouts, it's probably going to be a couple of weeks before the thing is done. That's the official word from Google. So it did happen. But friend of the show, Barry Schwartz, saw some stirring in the SERPs over the weekend previous to this announcement, alluding to a possible update starting as early as last Friday, so the 18th of October. And he noted some chatter from the community. People are feeling up and down. So one person noted that they have seen some things on their keywords. They're up and down day by day. They lost about 40% of traffic from July 29th. Somebody else said, "This has been the worst ever. The past several weeks, no traffic. My traffic is 3 visits an hour. There's a lot more between that." But then on the flip side, some other people saw great results. They said, "I have very strong traffic today, up 24% in search." Somebody else said, "Almost 30% increases in search traffic for 3 days running now. Hashtag enjoy it while it lasts. Love the optimism." Somebody else said that traffic had been sky high for them for the last 2 days, like somebody just flipped on a switch. Mixed reviews, basically. And this was all, again, prior to the announcement. This is from Barry's article that came out before Google had posted anything and confirmed. So there's all that. Seems like it's a little bit shaky. And the most recent episode of Search Off the Record happened to come out on the 22nd, same day as the announcement. And Greg, you listened. Do you have any TLDR nuggets?
Yeah, my TLDR nugget is I'm not the biggest fan of Google Danny. Danny Sullivan is one of my favorite people in the world. But hearing him on the podcast, it's like, that's Danny again. Like, I feel like all of his tweets are all so formal and like, well, we didn't do this, blah, 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 blah. But they're like, what do you do? And at like the 4 minute mark of it, he's like, well, you should take every single bit of your strategy.
Clearly, whenever we have a new ranking update, you should redo every single thing you've ever done from the beginning. And it's always incredibly new work. And, you know, just whatever you did before is completely obsolete.
Deadpan, though.
I know.
Deadpan.
He is like the funniest person. And I'm like, you know what? This is what we need more of, is like, it is less just simple tweets about this and more you being you. Like, that's why Google hired you. It was just great. Like, listen to it. Danny's fantastic. He's actually funny. You know, you just got to kind of get to the Danny part.
You have to know that it's funny, though. I feel like a lot of people pause that and we're like, tear down the world.
And he's probably getting trouble for it, which is the whatever.
But no, I hope not. I hope not.
That's my takeaway, is I just miss Danny. And it, again, the things he's saying now are the things he still was saying when he was at Search Engine Land and Third Door Media. So I feels good to hear the old Danny.
I'm glad. You know what else feels good? some charts.
It's time for Barry's Charts with Greg.
Yes, another rousing edition. And in third place this week, it is SEMrush, aka SEM Rush, with their chart. It just looks like a four-layer pie or cake to me, like a four-layer cake, essentially.
Delicious. A trifle.
A trifle. But
it's like broken. It doesn't go under an eight. And when you're always nines, tens, and eights, like, what are we even talking about at this point? I like this
because
they need to recalibrate it. And that's why it made third place this week, is because the SEMrush chart is just out of sync. All right. And then my second place chart, I don't even know what this is. I've never seen a chart with lines this thin. And it's from something called Wincher. And I just love the name Wincher. You know, there's that show on Netflix called Witcher.
Yeah.
And I like this as like some data nerd that's got like these little lightsaber charts, like walking around killing things. The winner is Advanced Web Ranking. This chart, if you look close, everybody that looks at this chart, you see kind of two distinct things that show up. And one is at the beginning and one is at the end. And it's that little wrinkle. And you can see it's that wrinkle in Professor Farnsworth. There's a Professor Farnsworth at the beginning and a Professor Farnsworth from Futurama at the end. Yeah. And if you want to see this, go subscribe to us on YouTube. Or if you're on Spotify, we have a video companion. And this is the Professor Farnsworth chart by Advanced Web Ranking, the number one chart of the week. And that was Barry's Charts with Greg, an audio program about visual charts.
And at X Daily on X posted that X is now changing how news links are showing up in the timeline. So it will strip out the headline or text, so links display only an article's lead image. And according to a Fortune article, this change is supposed to help reduce vertical pixel space and cut down on clickbait. It could be another incentive for media to publish articles on X or use the long post feature that we've talked about on the show before to provide more context before someone goes and clicks the link. And they also had an example of what this new design could look like. So if you're watching, you'll see that the image on the left has more text. It has the link in URL and also the headline of the article, and then on the right is the projected new design, which only has the image. Definitely looks cleaner, but it's hard to tell where this post is coming from, so I can see both.
Yeah, and that's not official, but I don't mind it if you could easily tell that. Like, I just don't want to have to do work,
right?
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I hate going places and like doing self-checkout. Like, no, I'm coming here. I'm paying you for this stuff.
Like, you don't love to use this as like a childhood dream, is to ring yourself out. Some people never experience a cash register.
No, I 100 out of 100 times I will not use self-checkout. And you will be able to cash me out, even those folks that you might have blocked in the past, because Elon decided on a whim to put out a tweet that says...
Did you say tweet?
Oh, Elon posted on x.com, even though there is no x.com.
Twitter.com.
It just redirects to Twitter. It's all still Twitter links. This is the dumbest rollout I've ever seen. Elon Musk posted on X that Block is going to be deleted as a, quote, feature, unquote, except for DMs. And so this was fairly surprising. Right now you can block somebody or you can mute somebody. By blocking somebody, they will not be able to see your content, that person specifically. However, the minute that they log out, they may be able to see that because they're no longer logged into their account. If you mute somebody, you will not be able to see any of their information. Elon went on to say, the obvious move is to strengthen the mute function by making anything posted by the muting account invisible to you. Right now, both mute and block are partly broken. It should also be made easy to continue to follow account while blocking their ability to DM you. This is all fine and well, except for the fact that you're literally not allowed to do any of this. You can't, right? It would be a violation of App Store policies and violation of the Google Play Store policies. So if he removes the blocking feature, he may also remove X from each App Store. Because that's one of the... one of the credentials to get in for social platforms is that you have to be able to block things that you want to.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Huh. And then another thing that I thought was hysterical, he got community noted on his own tweet, which is super funny.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's working the way it should.
It's working. It's working.
I know. I love community notes. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, you can't do this. It's great. I absolutely love the community note feature. And I love that you can just see like all the different things. Like, oh, this person's biased. This person. And you like, get to see all the stuff in sources. This is great. But anyway, I guess he can't do that. And then there were some reasons that people were saying like you might want to fix the blocking or not remove it. Because what can happen is they're saying like a scam account will block somebody that they're trying to scam, right? So if I'm trying to take your NJ Waddington or NJW Marketing X handle and like clone it, if I block you, you won't be able to see me ever, right? Mm-hmm. So like there are some ways like you can use the block to try to make more spam, which has a point, I guess.
You can also block for good though, I feel like.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it seems like either way you have to block, even if it's called mute or block or whatever, it's going to be something that will be there. And then James Wood, the actor that he's sort of like is in everything but nothing at the same time, you know what I mean?
James Woods is in The Virgin Suicides.
Yes. James Woods says to Elon, thank you. If Elon Musk removes the ability to block concerted harassment by trolls or organized political entities, how will X be any different from Jack Dorsey's horrid Twitter? Whatever. And then all the stuff. And Elon Musk responds and says, then delete your account.
It's just so like matter of fact.
So anyway, if you're worried about blocking, apparently you shouldn't have anything to worry about, or you just won't be able to use the app because the app won't be even available for you anymore.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from the one, the only, PPC Greg, at PPC Greg on Twitter. And Greg says, Google's reaction to advertisers' dissatisfaction with their support. And just a quick backstory, in case you didn't listen last week, there were a new pilot that was spotted for Google Ads where you could book an appointment for £40 a call. So anyway, Greg tweeted out a video that was produced by this Greg here. I made it for him. He was asking how to do it. Apparently, I'm still the young gun.
One of you is Greg of the Year, though, and one of you isn't.
Well, who made the video? Okay. And anyway, this is a look at the screenshot of the $40 appointment booking per call, and it's the I Think You Should Leave skit where Tim Robinson is saying,
I gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good. Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
So anyway, I thought that was a great idea by PPC Greg there. And anytime it's I Think You Should Leave, I'm all in. So good job, Greg.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people, this is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
This week's ICYMI comes from Sam at Digital Sam I Am on X. So news came out earlier this week that the New York Times blocks OpenAI web crawler, which essentially means you're blocking OpenAI from using New York Times articles to train their AI models. And Sam had some thoughts on this. He says ChatGPT's outputs will continue to degrade without access to timely, high-quality training data. More companies and, more importantly, individual experts and authors will follow suit. He thinks that perhaps Microsoft steps in and assists. He wouldn't be surprised to see some money-hungry publications pursue a revenue share or fee-based deal with ChatGPT. And finally, there's definitely going to be some cottage industry that pops up around LLM training data. Whoever controls it will find themselves quickly amassing outsized influence.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Martin Rogerding at Blue Marty on X tagged at Ads Liaison and said, hi, Ginny. I was wondering if I could ask you about the new Search Term Insights report. Since it's available for search campaigns as well, does Google intend to replace the old Search Terms report or SQR with this? And Ginny responded to him saying there aren't any plans to remove the search term report, but the team built search terms insights to help surface more query insights in privacy-safe ways after the privacy thresholds increased. The latest updates to make it more useful, more categories, API integration, custom date ranges, and downloading. Then he responded, by the way, the API integration isn't fully working. Query search term results is an error. I thought it was just me, but people keep posting scripts that only exports categories to spreadsheets. Glad the original report stays.
That's a feature, not a bug.
And then she just goes, you're welcome and thanks. I'll look into that. So yeah. We'll see. And then there was an accusation from Adalytics. It had a study that came out claiming YouTube was improperly tracking children for targeted advertising purposes, which would violate the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, or COPPA. And this is a regulation that regulates the online collection and use of personal information from minors under the age of 13 and is enforced by the FTC. So the rule applies to commercial websites and digital services that either are directed at children under the age of 13 or know they are collecting personal data from children under the age of 13. And this Adalytics article was titled, Are YouTube advertisers inadvertently harvesting data from millions of children?
I don't like that title. That's awful.
Yeah, the title sounds kind of scary, but the article claims they identified the platform serving personalized ads from more than 300 brands on made-for-kids videos, which, if true, would be in violation of these privacy laws. So when the viewers clicked on these campaigns, they would be redirected to the brand's website, which sometimes resulted in dropping cookies onto a user's browser. And there may be a financial penalty if you're found in violation of COPPA. But Ginny Marvin at the Google Ads Liaison reiterated the available controls for PMax in response to this. And she also said, it's worth noting YouTube and publisher content must meet Google's content guidelines to be eligible for monetization. And YouTube has MRC brand safety accreditation for in-stream video ads.
Some of this, like the part where you're making it to a website and you're getting a cookie, like that's not a real thing. They're not out there trying to harvest stuff from that. It's like, my kids might be taking my phone, watching a video, accidentally clicking something and making it there. Like that stuff, I know I made this joke on our call, marketing call, but that's like not real. That's like Tiffany Gomez in the back of an airplane type stuff where there's nothing actually being like done wrong, right? Not just not real. The other thing that I think is misleading is the way that advertisers have to opt out of made for children content. And Google, they're so full of it and they're so on this high horse. And it's like the easiest thing to debunk ever that they're a bunch of, that they're manipulating and being dishonest with the way that you have this targeting. Because when you go to put a video out, you click a box. There's a very simple box. It says, is this video made for kids? Yes or no. And when you go and you're advertising on YouTube, there is not something to say, remove made for kids.
That would be nice.
There is something under the G content that says, so there's like a G, a PG, a PG-13, an MA, and you can like choose what you want to exclude. And you have to go to the G, and then a second like radio box underneath G says content suitable for families. And the content suitable for families is really anything that was checked as content made for kids. So that is turned on by default for all of your YouTube campaigns. And it, if they wanted to make it easy, like they say they do, and all these stupid X's that they put out, and these threads, like, oh, they got it so wrong. No, because when you're a creator making a video, you have to go to select digital content labels to exclude. Under DLG, general audiences, you can get rid of all the general audiences if you want. But there is a sub box that says content suitable for families. And if you hover over the question mark there, the definition is this label includes made for kids content, such as content intended to be viewed or co-viewed by families. And that is on by default. And it doesn't say content made for kids content on there.
It
Totally should.
Totally
should. It's a very different thing.
It is a very different thing.
It's a very different thing.
So yes, you are by default targeting everything, and that includes made for kids content unless you go through into your settings and you go to exclusions underneath G and you exclude by clicking the button of content suitable for families, because that's the made for kids content that they have hidden. And it's always just weird. Like, surprise, surprise, it makes for more targeting, not less targeting. Who would have thought that that would have been the default? Weird.
Do you know how many ads my son has clicked? My three-year-old son. Has clicked?
206.
Probably more than that. Probably 10x. Like, he's just hitting buttons and just spending money, earning people money.
There you go. There's a tip of the day for you. If you're running YouTube ads, go through and check and make sure that content suitable for families is excluded. There you go. Sorry, Nicole.
All right. Another story here. So Search Engine Land surveyed nearly 1,000 people from their newsletter and found that less than a quarter of marketers plan on investing in X during the next 12 months. So Google and Meta Properties made up the biggest percentage of the survey, followed by LinkedIn.
23% of digital marketers that are investing in X. What percent do you think is going to be investing in Google Ads?
I would say I already know the answer. What's to the answer? I think it's in 83 or something.
Huh. Seems like there might be some cheap inventory over on X. Right? If that is with your, whatever your moral affiliation is.
And Barry Schwartz on Search Engine Roundtable covered that Google will stop collecting anonymous reviews on local service ads on August 25th. So on the day or by the time you're listening to this, they've already stopped collecting.
And just other news, we are collecting anonymous or regular reviews on iTunes. Give us a review.
Please.
Our last review was bad. I don't know if you check our reviews.
I don't. What did it say?
It was from Kenny Ob. Too much silly. More SEO. I like this SEO podcast, but I don't love it. I keep subscribing and unsubscribing to it. The hosts seem to know their stuff. Debatable.
Thank you. Yeah.
And have high energy and a sense of humor, which seems like a positive. But unfortunately, all the inside jokes and personal life opinions and stories get in the way of more useful SEO information and dialogue.
Do you do this for a living?
I'm a reaxist.
You are?
No, we just need some more reviews. Give us some reviews.
Give us reviews. I don't care what they say. However, who is that? Kenny? He's wrong.
And more LSA news. Len at Len Raleigh posted on X, hashtag LSA. We are now in month 25 of Google's LSA spam problem. Should I make a business called at Sundar Pichai, accident lawyer, to get someone at Google's attention? Did at ads liaison mute me after 25 months of complaining, and he has a screenshot of LSA ads? And Ginny replied on X and said, hi, Len. I don't mute people and share your feedback with the team that's actively focused on this. I've passed this along as well. As you know, I can't comment on specific cases or actions taken, but there's ongoing work to address issues and process systematically. He goes, what ongoing work? People spam LSA the exact same way they were doing it 25 months ago.
That's 2+ years, folks, if you haven't done the math.
25 months.
25 months.
One guy's got, lawyers are realtors where, mm-hmm. the face is so important. One guy's face takes up nearly the entire screen, and it says, car accident lawyer Big Wins Higgins. I love that guy.
TikTok has a new ad placement within the search results page, and they're calling it Search Ads Toggle. This will allow brands to target users engaged with searches related to the business's brand. However, it's an extension of video ads and not a standalone ads product. The company also said that advertisers will have the ability to add negative keywords to their ad groups, which I feel like should be standard.
Thank you.
Yeah. LinkedIn is rolling out its own version of brand partnership tags. So sounds similar to Meta. So users are able to add official brand partnership labels to posts they've received compensation for. The tag will add the words brand partnership under your username when you post an update. I just find it funny that there's LinkedIn influencers getting paid for stuff.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, if you can make money somehow, but...
Yeah, all you do is you find one single current event and you're just this is how the lesson that Tiffany Gomez taught me about business. It's just not real. That's what they do is they're saying, here's what the Barbie movie taught me about business. Here's what Taylor Swift's concert taught me about business.
And Ben Kruger at Ben_Kruger on X posted a poll. And he asks, what's your best honest guess for why Google rolled out Performance Max? And the answers or the options in the survey were to help advertisers, to sell junk inventory, privacy or regulation, and some other conspiracy. And do you want to guess which answer won?
I can't guess because I saw it.
All right. It looks like you voted for to sell junk inventory. Right?
I mean, I didn't see the survey, but I kind of agree. Where did it come from?
Oh, oops.
Whoops. Who'd you vote for?
Junk inventory. You can see it right on screen.
Yeah. So to spoil it, to sell junk inventory won at 58.7%.
I can't believe to help advertisers got a whopping almost 21%. Yeah. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith.
I know. I want to hear the 10% of conspiracies.
Yeah, what is it, the other conspiracy?
Yeah.
Money?
And last week, Derek Mullins at PPC ClickShark posted on X, is it me or does the demand gen update mean nothing? And a lot of people were chiming in and replying with their thoughts to this, including Mike Ryan, who voiced concerns over preventing targeting to warm prospects with this campaign type. And Ben Kruger goes, why do you guys care so much about excluding remarketing? And Kirk Williams had a response with an explanation as to why we would want to exclude those who have already been hit by an ad or have visited a site. And he does it in 185 words, if my math is correct. And then Derek Mullins replies to Kirk Williams and says, this is what a professional sounds like. My version was, I do not want to pay for 7 clicks when all I needed was 2.
Look at those emojis, too.
I know. And there's a cheers, like a beer emoji, too. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right. And last in paid, Reddit is expanding the options available for interest targeting, which is based off of a user's subreddits they visited and topics they're engaging with. So if you're on Reddit, check out some new targeting options.
All right. And into our organic news for the week, there is a headline from Search Engine Land about new Bing. It's got ChatGPT integrated. Mm-hmm. Where is it going to go? Is it going to overtake Google? Results are in. The new Bing has failed to take any market share from Google after 6 months. The byline, Microsoft disputes the data, which shows Bing's market share is actually lower in 2023 than it was in 2022 before new Bing launched. Wah, wah. And from YouTube, they are implementing a long-term vision for medical misinformation policies. In case you haven't heard the show in the past, you are demonetized and have all sorts of issues. If you talk about certain medical things that were happening in 2020 and rhymed with Slovid 17.
Wine team. It doesn't rhyme with 17.
It's been a day. Anyway, there is going to be 3 different types of misinformation. Prevention misinformation, treatment misinformation, and denial misinformation. You can read all about it. And then they're also taking a deeper dive and removing cancer treatment misinformation. So what they say for this is they're just going to pull that data if it is something that the examples they said were like pretty egregious, I would say. They had said, for instance, a video that claims garlic cures cancer or take vitamin C instead of radiation therapy would be removed. And Tables, can you just bleep out the C things, word in there,
the words. Yeah.
Right? Because we're going to get pulled if we do. Mm-hmm. and I think like generally probably good with this.
Yeah.
But also like isn't part of science like not ever being sure about anything? Isn't that like the fundamental part of science?
Testing new mm-hmm. hypotheses.
Right. So like how do you know what it is? Right?
Garlic's
like,
delicious.
Right. But there are like, there are many studies that look at like glucose consumption and cancer cells using glucose to grow at faster clips and things like that. So if you say something about that, would that be like considered not, would that be considered misinformation? Like, I don't know where it comes into play on that. Cause there are a lot of people that like, there's like a brain tumor community that is keto, and mm-hmm. because they believe it stops brain specifically from growing. Again, I don't know if this video is going to be taken down because I said that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's like people do that and like beat all these expectations. I know somebody doing it, right? And like they beat these terminal diagnoses with very short time frames and expand to a much longer time period. So that would be my only concern, is if there's people out there that maybe, or if you're doing this, something like that, or you know somebody, like just don't make it as like black and white and say, oh, could this work? I don't know. It's like
more of like a theory versus just trying to say something is fact. Maybe that's the workaround.
Right. And you see it with like the Adalysis study where it's like, mm-hmm. are people accidentally targeting kids? You know, you can't like say like any, I don't know. I always find it weird. Like, do you have a doctor? Is there a YouTube doctor? You know, it's like the number one source on that's like, oh, I'm the, like, how do you even determine what is real and what's not real? Every word that was C-A-N-C-E-R tables, bleep it from what I said. And from Joe Youngblood at Youngblood Joe on Twitter.
What?
X. An X. They said, Disqus will soon start showing ads on websites that use their comment technology like mine. According to Disqus, there's about 750,000 websites using the comment system. That was back in 2011. It was like an actual big thing because you could come out. It was like all threaded. It was nice. You could pull on your social stuff. And then this is what happens. They're just gonna be like, well, I'm just going to put ads on your site and you're not going to make money off of it. I'm going to make the money off of it. So if you use Disqus, you probably want to get rid of it. From YouTube liaison Renee Ritchie, and they say creators can now add prominent links into our channel headers. We talked about this before, but there's a little bit more information. You can now have up to 14 links in the channel headers. You can customize the titles and include different calls to action. And they'll be visible to everybody on August 23rd. So if you are a YouTuber, definitely check that out. Google is testing displaying follower counts in the search result snippets. I think this was spotted maybe a couple weeks ago, but Lily Ray was talking about it. And just hold that thought. We're coming back to it at the Must Read Marketing article of the week. So we will get there. And then YouTube is trialing a new skip ads button. And I'm going to give you two a quiz, right? Do you think the new skip ads button is going to be bigger or smaller?
I think smaller.
I mean, yeah, it says absolutely. Right here it's going to be yeah. smaller, but mm-hmm. it seems like that, even if I didn't read that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, everything is always.
Would you not?
Oh, get some more inventory. Show it on the kids. Yeah. Oh, let's make a video smaller. Oh, let's make the ads harder
kids,
to find out.
Because kids let's just.
The yeah. organic results look exactly like the ads. Mm-hmm. And yeah, mm-hmm. this is why. Mm-hmm. This is why nobody mm-hmm. trusts you. Okay, we're going to do into something else here. The little new segment called Just Checking In on SGE. Let's check in on SGE from Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYC. And I might be the number one Lily Ray fanboy. She has no filter. She's like.
She's a good DJ too.
She's a great DJ.
Great it's DJ.
Like classic, like
amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Unrelated to this podcast, but yes.
But she has no chill when it comes to calling out SGE, and says AI answers don't appear for this one when you change husband to wife, which it doesn't, and it talks about how to obey your husband, and you cannot get that to work for SGE if you say how to obey your wife.
Because you should just know how to do that.
Okay. You made a joke. I didn't. And then next up is another one from Lily Ray on SGE here. And this one says, I was waiting for the last sentence and 0% surprised by the time I got there. And SGE, she had asked, wifely duties. And at the very bottom, it said, a wife should also be a helper to her husband and submit to his leadership. According to SGE.
Cite your source.
All right. And then just one other thing following up on that was the SGE segment here, but then we're going to the SGE in browser. And you know, you covered it last week. I thought it's actually like fairly interesting to see what it pulls. You can see it live, an example, because I don't think we had like live examples last mm-hmm. week for it. And for many of our stories, it's like on Cypress North and Marketing O'Clock, we can see it working and doing like some nice summaries so that I think it's kind of interesting, but I can't find it on news sites. I'm like, what is the point of this? Well, it doesn't work on the on US News, New York Times, mm-hmm. ESPN. And so these are the things I want the summary of. And it's, mm-hmm. I don't know why it's so selective, and I haven't seen any documentation on whether you can turn it on or off. But if you're not allowing it on everything, why wouldn't you just make things fair and just not showing on everything or not showing on anything. But I thought of a good use for it. That's why I want to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
And so I think you'll like it. Nicole, I think you'll like it. Mm-hmm. And Shapu's no longer with us.
She'll be back in like 3 weeks.
Right, but she's not with us here. She's back in like
she's alive. Weeks. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, Shapu loved this. Mm-hmm. Okay. You use the SGE summary on any of the Google Ads press releases to figure out what the heck they're saying.
It's not going to work.
I have it up. It works.
It does?
Yeah, look at it.
Okay.
So there you go. So if you're ever trying to interpret what a Google Ads announcement is, just use in-browser SGE and it will summarize it for you. Okay, and that's it. And organic, what is happening in social mud?
Move over MySpace threads. Here's a post, not a tweet, from Mr. Elon Musk. He says, we exceeded 346 billion user seconds today. Highway usage ever. Corrected himself, said highest. Apart from a spike a few months ago where multiple LLM companies tried to download our entire base simultaneously. And he then goes on to say that user seconds is the most rigorous measure of usage. And I'm going to butcher this, at sexy engineering, S3XY engineering says user seconds is the most rigorous measure of usage because it takes into account both the number of accounts or the number of users and the amount of time that they spend using a product. So it's a good unit of measure, essentially saying that X, aka Twitter, has broken records. It's the highest amount of usage that they've ever had. So that's great news for you, X fans. It's also important to note that meanwhile, users on Threads are spending just 2.4 minutes a day on the app, which is down over 80%. I don't know when that is in comparison to, but basically folks are still using X. People do not care about Threads, and we might be feeding a fed horse with that, but Gil Gildner did post a beautiful chart, cease and desist, from Time, that shows that no one really cares about Threads, even though they kind of did for a second, or maybe just because of the hype. But about 10 million of y'all are using Threads. That's small potatoes. There's 10x that on X as far as daily active users. And this is just Android that we're looking at here. So that's 10 million people on Android are using Threads every day, and 100 million are, is that 10x? Did I do the math? Anyway, they're on X still. Yeah. So that's the thing.
Grant Cardone.
So for those 10 million, if you're still listening and you're not offended, you can rejoice because Meta has announced that a web app is being rolled out to users starting this week. Andrew Hutchinson posed the question, could this be the update that sees Threads reignite its huge early interest? My guess is no, but if you're using it, that's exciting for you.
No, it's fundamentally broken. You can't search for things. It is the dumbest product launch I've ever seen.
But you will be able to post an audio clip, which, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about in a second. But we're going to go back to X first from X Daily. X will be getting rid of the Tweep Cred system. This system dinged you if you interacted with low reputation accounts. So I guess that's good news. We have never said Tweep Cred before. I don't understand why it's Tweep and not Tweet.
Oh, other news. Now with this Tweep Cred change, you can now tweet at Jess Bud.
Yeah, I am definitely a, what did they say?
Low reputation
account. There's a picture of my chair, I think, from my apartment like 10 years ago that I had pinned. It doesn't matter. The point is people were essentially being penalized or inadvertently having less visibility because they were interacting with accounts that didn't have a lot of followers or a lot of engagement. And that's kind of bullshit. And I think that Mr. Musk sees that. So I guess that's good news. And it's also good news that we just don't have to say Tweep Cred ever again, because that's weird. Also from X Daily, the latest X web build has more hints related to the upcoming optional ID verification feature coming for premium accounts. So get excited if you're into that. And if we just need a brilliant segue from X to IG, I have a post here from Jack Dorsey who said, deleted my Instagram account after 12 years. Was one of the first 10 accounts, I believe. I didn't fact check that. And one of the first angel investors. Who will they give the @Jack handle to? And I checked. No one yet. Hmm. It's been days since he said this. So if you produce jacks or make flapjacks or love to
Carjack, whatever you want. You should try and get that handle because it's either still available or they're just not letting anybody take it. But that's cool.
And if he was one of the first 10 accounts, he probably had a pretty high tweep cred.
Get out of here. Tweep. What? Can we talk about tweep? Why tweep? Why not tweet cred? I understand the cred is for credibility and the twee is was for tweeting. The P presence. Is weird. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. All right. Bigger news, though, on the Instagram front. The platform has officially announced that a new audio clip option is coming to Notes. And Notes, if you don't remember, are those dumb things that people use for a status update at the top of your DMs. Now, instead of typing, you can speak, which could be good on the fly. I know we do a ton of stupid shit with puns that we kick our show off with, and it just translates better over audio mm-hmm. than it does over text. So I understand that. And it does, Andrew Hutchinson notes in social media today that it has a more practical purpose in regions where there's multiple languages spoken, because a lot of folks can be fluent in speaking and hearing those things, but maybe not necessarily reading or writing. So that makes sense. I guess that's cool. And on a related note, apparently they're working on a similar feature for Threads, so you can attach a voice clip to your posts as well as images and video. Adam Mosseri also posted on Threads that there are two more small updates coming that are worth mentioning. He says, we're rolling out a new reposts tab in your profile so you can see all the threads you reposted in one place. Congratulations. We are also, based on your feedback, adding reposts to your following feed. Raise
just
hand
end
emoji.
It. Just end it already.
End it now. Closing out here with a couple of items for the good marketers out there. This stuff actually matters, kind of, maybe. Meta has released an infographic that highlights the best practices for ad campaigns on both Facebook and Instagram, including insights into how account structure can impact the learning phase for new campaigns, how to leverage automation to be more efficient, cough, cough, drink the Advantage Plus Kool-Aid, ways to leverage diversified creative, and a whole lot more. So that's there for you. TikTok also released a similar guide to campaign fundamentals and how to best incorporate some of your key differentiators into TikTok clips. So as we're gearing up for peak shopping season for consumers, these guides are definitely worth perusing if you're advertising on either platform or plan to for the holidays. But of course, just please take that with a grain of salt because they really are, especially on the Meta front, kind of pushing an agenda. But that doesn't mean that there's not something that you could learn from it. So check them out if that's what you're doing. And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise. This week's Working Hard or Hardly Working. Hardly working for me this week is Google My Business hours. So we've
it's not even a real thing. It's not
Google
real.
Business profile.
Whatever,
profile.
Whatever you want to call
it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it sucks.
Whatever it's called, it's not working because I was trying to help Julie on our team help a client who has separate business hours for a cafe and a bar. And there's no way to set two separate hours without creating like two separate profiles or putting it in your description, which is probably going to not get approved anyway. It's just so frustrating. And I don't really work in like local SEO at all, but it was illuminating to see that it wasn't just PPC that Google sucks at.
How many places have you heard of that have like a kitchen closes a couple hours before, but you might love their food and want to go there to eat? Mm-hmm. And it just seems like a stupid, simple feature you could implement.
Yeah.
It's like multiple types of hours. I don't know. Here's a stupid simple feature that's working well for me. I did not realize that you could create groups of folks in Google. You can make groups, and I'm finding it particularly handy for the calendar because we have a huge marketing team, and I have to like look around the office and make sure that I've added everyone. But now that I've added them to a group, I can just invite the group to a department-wide meeting, and it works. So that's handy, and I didn't know about that. And it's not new, but it was new to me. So. Working hard, actually. Greg?
For me, something hardly working, and I'm about to flip this table. Microsoft Ooh. Keyword matching mm-hmm. has gone off the rails. It is
like more than before?
More than before. I dare you to take a look and audit your search query report with Microsoft currently. It is so, so unbelievably bad. It's like, it's almost to the point you can't even use Microsoft anymore because Target CPA doesn't work. Target ROAS doesn't work. Nothing like works. And then it doesn't even match the terms. And then honestly, like low key, I probably shouldn't say this. The worst part is they show you all the search queries and just so like, you know, it doesn't work. At least Google's doesn't work and they hide it, you know, for privacy. But like Microsoft just doesn't work. Go look at how poorly in August, right? Just look at August search query matching and you will vomit all over yourself.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool is a script, so you're well equipped to anticipate performance changes in your ads account. And I apologize if that's a repeat rhyme, but the script only matches with so many things. So from Floris DeShriver by way of Jamie Leckie on LinkedIn, Jamie says, get ahead of potential downturns throughout your account with this script. I've mentioned this before when you're using smart bidding, it's best not to change things often. So when we do make changes, we want them to be intentional. Great advice, Jamie. Thank you. Floris created a script that looks at the data in your accounts and smooths it out to show trends. If the 7-day line goes above the 21-day line, could be a sign things could go up. If it goes below the 21-day line, it could be a sign that things might start going down. And then thank you, Jamie, for saying, remember, this is just signs to watch out for, but it's always helpful to be alerted to something if you feel like things are trending down. So this is handy for a heads up. For sure, you might as well implement it. It's not going to do anything for you. It's just going to show you things that you might want to see. So you can grab the link to the script from our newsletter at newsletter or marketingo'clock.com/newsletter, as well as on Discord, community.marketingo'clock.com. So pick your poison and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week, an article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week is actually a video and a thread over on X from Lily Ray at Lily Ray NYC. You should just listen to her when she says things. Most SEOs rehash, regurgitate, reuse, recycle, reduce, whatever, right? Like just regurgitate everything. But Lily has something that you don't hear a lot of that she stated, saying, I believe the future of SEO will be highly tied with influencer marketing. Hear me out. More and more SERP features are highlighting individual experience. Short videos, perspective, knowledge graphs, author carousels, testing author names and top stories, a thread. And then goes on to say that it's pretty clear there's a strong connection between social media signals and performance on Google, particularly in Discover. Lily then has a YouTube video, I believe it's about a little under 5 minutes, where she goes through the five reasons why she believes this, and you should absolutely listen to this and then make your own decisions. I think there's a lot that's right in there. And then she also talks about why it's true for YouTube, which again, Google is pulling into the results more and more. So whether you call it indirect or, you know, direct, that's up to you. She's just correct, so you should listen to it. And then she's also talking about the follower counts I alluded to before, where now there's follower count numbers that are being shown in Google here in the US for specific accounts. So you can see, you know, all the different connections and that Google knows Lily has this many followers or whomever else. And then she had another tweet. She's really going in on this, saying that she is noticing that author names are driving lots of traffic to specific articles for some sites in GSE. This is likely due to Google's author carousel. Using Greg Finn here as an example, sorry to put you on the spot, Greg. Another example of the author's name can be a keyword. And then she says, the more your author's experts put themselves out there and create demand, the more search volume increases for their names, which can lead to more traffic to you or their articles. So hard to dispute this. I would just watch the YouTube video and to make sure that you are putting some of the good content out there, good perspectives. People don't want to read stuff. They want to feel stuff. And that's sort of my takeaway from what she's saying on this, just because I'm self-serving, or at least on the show. Right? I'm a narcissist on the show, whatever. And then the other thing, just anecdotally, I'm always kind of like testing the water and like seeing what SGE is doing. I am so flabbergasted at how different the SGE articles cited are from the actual Google SERPs. Like, it is wildly different.
Dichotomy.
It's crazy, right? And it's there's so many more almost like takes you would say, like the 14 best, the buying guide, the this, the that, the everything that you should know, where when you're looking for products, where in the main Google SERPs, it's a lot of times it's like a product category that ranks for, you know, Walmart or Amazon or something. So I am all on board with the Lily Ray train on this. And you should be as well. Check it out on YouTube, or if you want everything here, go to marketingclock.com/newsletter or community.marketingaclock.com.
And now on to our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingaclock.com. I will be adding I Was Neon by Julia Jacklin. What are you adding, Jess?
Help, I'm Alive by Metric.
And I'm going to go with Buy and Buy by Camp, C-A-A-M-P. Sounds like something you can buy off of Temu.
I've been listening to a lot of Camp lately, too. All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
Miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we cover. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck, where after our famous Friday news shows, we don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And this week, we are playing everybody's favorite game, trivia. And as you heard in the opening, I'm a bit of a survivalist myself. And so we are going to have survival skills trivia. See who is the last person standing here in the studio. And we have Victoria filling in for tables this week, who's running the board. So Victoria, you will be playing. You can ring in by saying your name. Jess, ring in, and Nicole by saying your respective names. Everybody get it?
Yep.
Okay, question. This is multiple choice. You can just ring in if you wanted to go for it, though. What should you do if attacked by a cougar? A, play dead. B, fight back. C, take a picture. D, talk calmly.
Nicole, C. Oh.
Nicole.
Play dead.
Not only did you get wrong, you choose take a picture. I love it. All right. Nicole, you got it. 1-0. Nicole, what percentage of blood loss will likely cause death? 10%. Jess.
But I don't get the answers, right?
Right. You can, if you get on the nose, it counts.
Okay. 70%.
Incorrect. The A is 10%. B is 15%. C is 25%. And D is 25%. 50%.
Victoria, you have to...
Nicole. 25.
25. Great job, Nicole.
You'll die if you bleed out a quarter of the way.
Oh, no. Sorry, it's 50%. Ugh. You're wrong.
Nobody gets it.
Nobody gets it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm doing a bad job of this here. We're going to pick it up right here because we've got some humdingers of a question here.
I feel like we all understand the rules, too.
Yeah, everybody's great. all right, question is... Your friend fell out of a tree trying to get honey from a beehive. She fell 20 feet and was knocked unconscious for 45 seconds. You know from your training that she should be monitored for 24 hours. Which of the following signs do not indicate a serious head injury? A, complaints of blurred vision lasting over an hour. B, unusual tiredness or sleepiness. C, a headache that increases in intensity. D, burps that smell like sulfur.
Jess!
Jess.
D.
Correct. That's a sign of gardenia. I think it's a flower.
Yes.
Gardenia? It's like a parasitic. So the reason I asked that question is because I just love the second question here. Your other friend went up into the honey tree and also fell.
Bring honey with you is the answer.
He was knocked unconscious for 5 minutes. Which of the following is not a sign of serious head trauma with a need for rapid evacuation? A, depressed fracture of the skull. B, black and blue around swollen eyes. C, black and blue behind and below the ears. D, unusual rigid postures. E, shivering uncontrollably.
Jess. Ears.
Incorrect.
Nicole. Posture.
Incorrect. Victoria.
Shivering.
Victoria's on the board. That's a
process of elimination.
That just means you're cold.
Well, yeah, but couldn't you like?
Yeah.
I just love that your friend falls out of a tree.
And you go up into the tree.
And is out for 45 seconds trying to get honey. And then your other friend's like, well,
we still need that honey.
Go up the tree, fall out of the tree, and are out for 5 full minutes. And you're figuring out if you got to like medevac them out.
I would have called.
You got to just be sitting there being, what am I doing with these two stupid friends?
Can you get honey straight from a beehive? I don't even think you can. That's some Winnie the Pooh.
What is the most important calorie source in survival living? Sugar, fat, carbs, or protein?
Nicole.
Jess. Nicole.
Sugar.
Jess.
Jess.
Fat.
Correct.
Thank you.
If you ever watch Alone, they all are like starving without fat.
You got to have fat. It's what your body eats when you don't eat.
Yeah.
It's common knowledge, people.
Okay, Jess is too. Which method of cooking wild food will retain the most nutrients? Boiling in a pot, roasting on the coals, pit baking, or frying on a rock?
Nicole.
Nicole.
Pit baking.
Incorrect.
Jess.
I don't even know what that is.
Why'd you pick it then?
The coals. The coals.
Incorrect. Victoria.
Boiling.
Boiling it in a pot.
Really? They tell you not to boil your vegetables because it sucks all the nutrients out.
No, but then you can like drink it, I think.
You drink the water. You burn your mouth.
Survival.
You burn your mouth, and then you'll need a medevac because that sucks.
It's extra hydration.
You're extra hydration, Victoria.
Yeah, you're actually supposed to climb a tree and cook it in a beehive.
Are we two and two?
Two and two. Okay.
And one for Nicole? Okay.
Which of these is the most useful stone tool for survival living? A big sandstone slab, an obsidian dagger, a burin, or a baseball-sized granite cobble?
Victoria.
Victoria.
The second one.
Okay.
Nicole.
Nicole.
The granite.
Okay.
Jess.
Jess.
The baseball.
No, the baseball was the granite.
Oh.
Sandstone slabs are extremely useful for shaping wood, cracking nuts, grinding seeds, sharpening bone and antler, and many other tasks.
But you can't kill anything with it. I guess you could cook on it.
Okay.
I disagree with this trivia.
Okay. Well, I'm just
What is your source? Is it Parade Magazine?
Wilderness Survival Courses and SurvivalLife.com. What is a good number of traps to set in a survival situation? 1 to 3, 3 to 5, 10 to 20, or 143?
Jess.
Jess.
10 to 20.
Jess. Okay. Jess, you won.
Right. You want to get the odds out there.
I've got a lot more stuff, but I just wanted to let you know.
Spit some facts.
I went to the new Bing and I asked for some fun survival facts. And the first thing that it gave me, and I'll let you guess the answer to this. If you're lost in the wilderness and have no water, you can drink your own urine.
Yes.
How
true.
Many times can you do it?
Three.
Probably like 5.
It's the new Bing says you can do it only once. You can't do it, apparently.
You
because
can.
It makes you more dehydrated.
But it's water.
You would have to like do that reverse, either like reverse osmosis, or you have to make
take out the.
You have to get the minerals.
Like the ammonia. Yeah. Such, but it is sterile. I learned that on this show. Mm-hmm. Listening
it's
to it.
It's not gonna, but it's going to make you dehydrated.
But it doesn't hydrate
you. So you shouldn't do it at all.
Shouldn't do it at all. I think you should probably like save it and try to like.
Could you boil it?
Get it hot and like then the, like the well, drip of the condensation. You
put it on that flat stone and let the sun take the ammonia out of it.
Okay, so here's what else the new Bing told me, right? It says, if you're ever stranded on a deserted island and need to start a fire, try using Doritos as kindling.
Yeah, no. Doritos. Okay, so once a cop told me that if you want to commit arson, you should use a bag of Doritos because the Doritos in the bag are extremely flammable and then the evidence is up in smoke.
This does not sound like a cop. This does not sound like a police officer. Are you sure it wasn't a bad guy?
I'm not going to blow him in, but it's great advice. And so now just pack Doritos with you on desert island.
Okay. All right. Another thing that the new Bing told me was if you're ever lost in the woods and need to signal for help, try using your phone. It won't work, but it will make you feel better.
I love that. It's all a mental game at that point. Have you seen 127 Hours?
No. I haven't seen that Tom Hanks film either with the baseball or the, what is it, volleyball.
Okay, so don't listen to it. Don't drink your urine. And Jess, you are the only person that survived. Congratulations. Everybody else is dead. And we will see you next week.